Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, I hope you're having a great day today. I hope that you are headed into a wonderful weekend. I don't know what's coming up for you. I don't know what you're facing, but I know God does. And if you know Him, then whatever else you're facing, you can face it with confidence, because the Lord never leaves or forsakes His children. He's always there with us. We're going to be talking today in just a few minutes with an author that is much better known for his skills on the field. Charles Tillman, known as Peanut, is now playing with the Panthers in Charlotte, North Carolina, but for a number of years played with the Bears in Chicago. And so some of you will be familiar with him as the guy who messed up your team's play, because he's great at intercepting the ball and forcing fumbles. And I would encourage you to listen to what he has to say about how to get it right off the field. He's got a new book out, and we'll be talking with him in just a few minutes. But in line with what we're going to be discussing with him, I want you to consider, do you ever wonder where manners come from? Some of us grew up in homes where there were all kinds of rules and all kinds of protocols. My dad was a stickler for good manners and used to, as a pastor, instruct his congregation on how to behave in a more civilized manner. He insisted that gentlemen needed to open the doors for ladies. They needed to pull out the chair in order for the lady to be seated properly without having to seat herself. You were to pull out the chair and stand there and help her, and then help her scoot that chair into the table. You were to refer to other people in a gracious manner, even if you were talking to someone with whom you had real disagreement. If we were going to express disagreement with our parents, when I was growing up, the opening phrase of your disagreement was always, "I beg your pardon," and then you could express what you wanted to say. But you were putting yourself in a position of submission, and it was not groveling. It was simply acknowledging that on the one hand, I disagree with you. On the other hand, I respect you. And that made for a much more loving, gracious, peaceful environment. It really did. It wasn't about being stifled. It was about learning how to express ourselves in a manner that was gracious and respectful to other people, which is what people deserve. I discovered as I got older that a lot of that wasn't just the code of the old South where my dad grew up. It was actually biblical. I remember being shocked as an adult when I was reading through Leviticus for the umpteenth time, and I had read through Leviticus before, but I was reading through the book of Leviticus, and I came in chapter 19 to verse 32, which says, "Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord." In other words, God says one of the ways that we show respect for Him is by the way that we show respect for others. And one of the groups that deserves extra respect is those who've lived longer than we have. Somebody who's made it a little further down the road, they may actually know something that we have yet to learn. And so, show respect for them by standing up, rising in the presence of the aged. When I was a kid growing up, it was just an understood rule that if an older person walked into the room, you stood up. And if it was appropriate, stepped away from the front of the chair where you were seated so that if they wanted your chair, they could have it. That's just good manners, folks. But it's also showing consideration. It's saying to that person who comes into the room, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you are in this room right now, and I'm glad you're on the planet right now. And I respect you, and therefore, if you would like to sit where I've been sitting, it's yours. You can have your choice of any seat in the room. Guess who didn't have to get up? My grandmother did not have to get up because she was always the oldest person in the room. It wasn't just that she was a lady, but she was 90 years old when I moved there to live with my grandmother and my aunt and my mom and my dad all under one roof. Believe me, I never felt like a motherless child. But with my grandmother at age 90 and up, she was always able to keep her seat. The ladies generally, when a man walks into the room, the ladies can keep their seat. Even if it's an old man, the ladies can keep their seat. Because ladies are to be given preferential honor and treatment that respects them. But if it's a man who is seated and another man walks into the room, the young guy is supposed to stand and offer a seat to the older one. That is just good manners. But it turns out it's also biblical. I didn't know that was in the Bible. I'd never noticed it before. I'd read through there before, never noticed it. All of a sudden, it jumped off the page to me. And it wasn't like, okay, this is something you need to start doing. It was, okay, this is why mom and dad taught you to do that. It's biblical. Folks, we're going to talk with Charles Tillman in just a moment. We'll be right back and want to hear from him about his book and about the importance of teaching your children to have good manners and to know the difference between right and wrong. Have you ever really wanted to make a difference in this world? You can. It's possible for you to be a part of a miraculous place where God is doing a work of healing in the lives of children who come from difficult circumstances. Ware's Valley Ranch is a ministry that belongs to Jesus. He owns the place. My wife and I had the opportunity to be here when it was started, and we have watched God work miracle after miracle, providing when only 2% of the income of the ranch comes from the families of the children in our care. We take no government money, we have a policy of no debt, and that means every day that we operate, it's because God is working in the hearts of people who want to help children. You can make a difference that lasts for eternity, and I hope you will. Contact the ranch at wvr.org, or you can call us at 866-41-ABIDE. Let us hear from you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Folks, Charles Tillman is on the phone with us right now, and Charles, want to welcome you to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha. We are grateful for your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and frankly, quite impressed with your prowess on the football field.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Well, I've been blessed.
You have been blessed. You've been blessed not only with talent, but blessed with a lot of success, and I know that there's been a lot of hard work that's gone with that. But what's even more impressive is your prowess off the field. You have been working in order to share life lessons that made a difference in your life now with others, and you have a book called The Middle School Rules of Charles Tillman. Now, some of our folks know you as Peanut. I happen to have been born right outside Chicago, and I still have a lot of friends who are diehard Bear fans, and yet I also have a bunch of friends over in Charlotte, and they're very thankful that the Panthers snagged you after your years with the Chicago Bears. Tell us about off the field. Tell us about your life when you're not out there causing fumbles and intercepting passes. Tell us about what God has been doing in your life.
Well, I'm just a dad, like a lot of the other players. Mm-hmm. I wake up 6:30 in the morning, get my kids ready for school, and then I go to work. We do homework when they get out of school. I'm a normal Joe.
That's good.
You know, people seem to think that I have this, you know, I got butlers and maids. No, man, I'm a dad. We do it all. My wife and I, we do a lot of tag teaming as far as, you know, getting kids to soccer practice and taekwondo and guitar lessons, mm-hmm. and parties. You know, I'm no different than the average Joe.
Well, one of the things that you share in your book, and I appreciate this, is I was blessed to have two wonderful parents who did an amazing job of raising me and teaching me right from wrong. That is something that a lot of young people today don't have. A lot of folks are growing up with nobody to give them a compass, nobody mm-hmm. to show them this is right, this is wrong, and here's how you can tell the difference. You were blessed, and you recognize that as a blessing from God, that you had two parents who really cared about you and who cared about right and wrong and loved you enough to teach you that there is a difference between right and wrong.
Yeah, and, you know, my parents divorced when I was in the ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And despite them getting a divorce, my parents did an amazing job of raising me up until that point and beyond that point of knowing right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what my parents, they're from the old school. So they used to break out that belt and put it on you when you did something wrong. Like, I feared my parents, you know?
Yep.
And I wanted to do right by my parents. I wanted to make them proud. But yet, as a kid, yeah, you do wrong things. You lie. You know, it's just all about being a kid, all a part of being a kid. And my dad, my parents, both of them taught me, you know, now when you speak to a parent, or excuse me, when you speak to adults, you say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You look him in the eye. You shake a man's hand. You look him in his eye and you shake his hand. You know, if you make a decision, you got to stand by that decision. Whether it be good, a bad decision or whatever, hey, I messed up. I made a mistake. You own it. You live up to it.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that my mom and my dad taught me, and it helped me in life. It really did, because I could see how advanced I was compared to some other kids when I went to college. Like, yep. Man, your dad never taught you that?
Right.
Like, wow, you're missing out. I already knew that. My dad taught me that. You know, there's just certain things that I expected that parents should do, but I guess I was wrong. I didn't know that. I thought, just your parents are supposed to love you and treat you right and teach you right from wrong, but obviously, some parents don't. They don't know that it's not. You know, they feel like they need to get credit for doing that. But my dad, my household, it was no. You know, this is how we do things.
Yep.
They're set this way. That military sergeant came out. You know.
Yep. Your dad was in the military and was, as you say, a sergeant. You're not just using that expression. He literally was a sergeant in the Army.
And, yes, sir. And he ran his house a certain way, and things had to be done. We had chores. You know, we couldn't roll our eyes. We couldn't whine about certain things. We had, you know, we couldn't. We had to. My dad's biggest thing was respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quick story. I remember I saw the movie Police Academy. Right, everyone sees the movie Police Academy, old 80s movie.
Yep.
Well, there was a part of the movie where I think Mahoney yelled to Hightower. He goes, "Hey, Hightower," and Hightower says, "Yo." So I thought that was pretty cool. So I figured I'd do it to my dad. "Hey, Peter, yo." "I'm sorry, what did you say?" "I said, yo." No. We don't do that in this house.
Yep.
And, you know, I got popped one time, and I don't think I've ever said yo again until just now. You know, there's certain things that I was not allowed to do in my dad's house. And it was terrible at times, but as I got older, I could understand what he was trying to teach me.
Yes.
You know, and I have kids now, and, you know, I have a 3-year-old, and, you know, she's on the, you know, yeah, and I have to tell her 100 times a day, it's yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yeah, and she's finally starting to come around and get to it. You know, one thing that it's a pet peeve of our family. You know, when we hear other kids say, yeah, no, to adults,
mm-hmm.
and my kids will look at me and it's like, they said, yeah, you know, and I was like, yeah, we don't do that. You know, that's just, you know, it's just my parents, they taught me respect. And I'm trying to teach that to my kids.
Praise God. Well, that's a wonderful gift to give your children, because your children will be way out in front when they get out of your house into this world and people see that they are not going with the masses. I tell folks, if you want to fit in with the crowd, you need to realize the crowd is on the broad road that leads to destruction. And
right.
You do not want to go that way. So you were indeed blessed to have parents who weren't perfect, who didn't do everything right, but they did some things right. And one of the things that they did very right was to teach you that respect for your elders is very, very important. Also, teaching you to speak clearly and properly without slang. That was something that was taught, and opening doors for ladies.
Yeah, so my dad, you know, I'm from the South Side of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and as a kid, you know, you speak a certain kind of way. Hey, me and Duck, my brother's name was Duck, so mm-hmm. you know, we would say me and Duck this, me and Duck that, and my dad used to always harp on this. No, Duck and I, put yourself last, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we moved around. I think I moved to Chicago. I moved back to Chicago in the sixth grade. And I was around a lot of other black kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I got made fun of because of how I spoke.
Right.
Because I didn't speak like them. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that slang. And I talked proper. I said, well, why do you talk like that? It's like, talk like what?
Right.
Like that. Why do you say your words like that? It's not my dad. I can't say that stuff in my house. Like, it don't work. I can't talk like that. My dad won't allow that. Like, we can't do it. It just don't happen. It doesn't happen.
Right. Well, you know,
here
in our ministry, we work with kids from all over the country, kids who grow up in rural environment and kids who grow up in the inner city before they come here, kids from various racial backgrounds. And one of the things that breaks my heart is when kids start to learn standard English, which is going to be a huge advantage to them in any number of areas of life, and they go back home, and even in many cases, their parents, not just their peers in the hood, but their parents give them a bad time about talking that way. And yet you're here telling folks, hey, do you want to succeed? Do you want to get ahead? Learn how to speak properly. It'll help you in the long run.
Yeah, and that's just, my dad, he was ahead of the game.
Absolutely, and he gave you a gift.
He helped me out a lot.
He did. He gave you a gift. I want to encourage folks to pick up your book, Middle School Rules, The Middle School Rules of Charles Peanut Tillman. And folks, if you're not familiar with his story, go online. Because the fact of the matter is, God has not only blessed this man with talent, but he's blessed him with grit. And he has worked hard in the NFL, and he's been rewarded with success. Two-time Pro Bowl selection. He's distinguished himself, I love this quote, as one of the NFL's most opportunistic defensive backs, intercepting 36 passes and forcing 42 fumbles, the most in the league since his rookie year in 2003. Charles, thank you so much for coming on the program. I hope that God will continue to bless you in your walk with him, bless your family, and if we can ever get you to come over and visit us here in East Tennessee, I would love to introduce our students at Ware's Valley Ranch to you, sir.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be great. We'd love for you to come.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. You too, sir.
Bye-bye.
Amazon, ladies and gentlemen, to get the book, Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. There you go. All right. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Folks, by way of just following up with the conversation with Charles Tillman, I want to encourage you in the midst of a climate in this country that is very contentious, shall we say, where sometimes those in government actually do things that are downright evil. How should we respond? Is it okay to speak with the contempt that we sometimes are tempted to feel to or about those in government? Let me give you an answer from Scripture. Acts chapter 23. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the Sanhedrin, And he says, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Now that, by the way, was a total violation of the law. It was not okay under Jewish law for him to do that. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "You dare to insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" Now, I obviously admire Paul for doing that. I'm not sure I would have had the presence of mind or the grace to apologize and remind myself of the scripture that says, "I must not speak evil about the ruler of my people." I would have wanted to go back and amplify what Paul had said. Yes, he's a whitewashed wall. He is a totally filthy, garbage-hearted guy who has no business being in a position of honor. But that's not what Paul did. Paul apologized. Paul apologized for speaking ill of somebody in authority who had done wrong. Not because he respected the person, but because he respected the position. And that is important. And Paul, in Romans chapter 13, when he's talking about governmental authorities, at a time when Nero was the emperor, and Nero was a scoundrel, a wicked demoniac, Paul says this in Romans 13, and I'm reading just an excerpt starting in verse 6. He says, "This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." Now, he said that at a time when Nero was demonstrating what a wicked ruler looks like. But we need to be careful and honor those to whom honor is due, not by virtue of their character, but by virtue of their position. You can pray for me that I'll do that and not just talk about it. And if you're in a situation, this is not saying that you've got to stay in an abusive relationship or allow yourself to be molested or any such thing. It is saying that even when you disagree, even if you have to flee, you need to be careful that you don't fall into the same trap of sinning and violating God's commands. And God commands us, out of respect for Him, to show respect to others. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. No one anywhere has authority to require you to do what God forbids or to forbid you from doing what God commands. But unless it's a matter of needing to obey God by disobeying an earthly authority, you and I are supposed to obey the earthly authorities. And thank God we live in a democracy of sorts where we can try and change things through political action. But the most important thing you can do is not politics. The most important thing you can do is to pray and obey God. And that means we show respect to others. So, God bless you. You have a great weekend. And folks, I'd love to hear how God is using this broadcast in your life. You can email us, you can call us, either way, we'll appreciate it. God bless you. Tune in next week.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at WVR.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at WVR.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at WVR.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-4-1-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE or contact us on the web at wvr.org.